life, rock formations, and in one cave, a crude carving on rock, with the names Greta and Franz inside a heart, with the date 15-8-05. He liked to think Greta and Franz stayed together, maybe living in a little farmhouse along the Rhine. He hadn't expected to stumble across the star the first day out. Didn't think any of the team expected that kind of luck. A quest required time, effort, sweat, and risk. And when gods were involved, blood. But steps had to be taken, and they'd taken them for the day. Best of all, they hadn't encountered any of Nereza's minions. Any day no one had to shed that blood was, in his book, a good day. Once they docked the boat, turned in the tanks, he shouldered his pack. The hike home loomed, but there'd be a beer at the end of it. "Now we can go shopping." As one, the other five stared at her. "There are many shops and pretty things, and all the people. And Sawyer said we could have the outstanding."
"A beer sounds outstanding," Doyle commented. "She means gelato."
Reluctantly charmed again, Sawyer shifted his pack.
"She doesn't forget anything."
"I could go for gelato," Riley considered. "And I need another suit for swimming. I only have one." Now Riley arched her eyebrows.
"What you have is a fraction of one." "Worn brilliantly," Doyle put in, and made Annika smile.
"I think gelato's an excellent plan." With her damp hair drawn back in a tail, Sasha scanned the marina. "I bet it's an easy find, too, and on the way."
"Let's find out."
Bran took her hand. Within 5 minutes, after tugging Annika away from window displays of shiny objects, they met rock-hard determination.
"This shop has suits for swimming. I need this."
"Take her in, Sawyer."
"Oh, no."
His determination just as rock-hard, he shook his head at Riley.
"That's a girl thing. That's absolutely a girl thing. I'm going with Sawyer on that."
In solidarity, Bran slapped a hand on his shoulder.
"I say the females deal with this, and the rest of us head right up there."
He gestured.
"We can pick up more beer."
"I'm going with them." Riley stepped over to the male side.
"Wait a minute," Sasha began.
"I'm going to find what we need to make Bellinis. We definitely need Bellinis."
"Bellinis," Sasha sighed, looked at the shop, weighed shopping chaos against Bellinis.
"All right, you've sold me, Annika. I'll go in with you, but you can't try on everything. You have to stay focused."
"I won't. I will. Then we'll get outstanding gelato."
She dashed straight inside.
"They better be exceptional Bellinis," Sasha muttered, and followed Annika inside.
She found such a pretty suit with red flowers, and another in bright, bright green, and what Sasha called a wrap almost as thin as air, and shoes with pretty seashells that left most of the foot bare. With Sasha's help, she bought them all, and another wrap with blue waves over white for Sasha.
"For you," she offered the little bag. "For helping me."
"Oh no, Ani, you don't have to buy me something for helping you."
"But it's for you."
Firmly, Annika pushed the bag into Sasha's hands.
"The blue is like your eyes. It's a gift for you, and makes me happy to give."
"Thank you. It's beautiful." "We really have to go now. Remember, we have to carry all of this."
"Pretty things never weigh too much."
To Sasha's mind, a couple of bikinis that barely covered the essentials weighed virtually nothing, but she steered Annika out of the shop.
"There they are."
Wary, Sasha kept a solid grip on Annika's arm as they walked up to where the rest redistributed bottles into packs.
"You're exempt,"
Riley told Sasha as she hefted her heavier pack.
"Fair's fair."
"I can carry more,"
Annika turned around, offered her pack.
"It's not heavy."
Doyle zipped a couple bottles of Italian beer inside her pack.
"That'll do it. We've got the rest."
"There's gelato." Annika dashed up the steep street as if her new sandals had wings. She'd struck up an animated conversation with a couple of American tourists by the time the others caught up.
Jessica likes the chocolate, but Mark likes the pistachio. It's a nut.
Right. How you doing?
Riley signaled Sawyer to ease Annika away, distracted the couple with small talk until they wandered off.
They were very nice, but I don't know whether to listen to Jessica or to Mark. And oh, there are so many pretty colors.
Pick two, Sawyer suggested, and her eyes went wide.
I can have two?
Two scoops in a cone.
Two scoops in a cone, she repeated. Which do you pick?
You pick first. You're not going to go wrong.
I think the pink and this green, they'll look nice together, like a flower.
Strawberry and mint. Nice combo. It's on me, he told the rest.
When, even after he'd paid, Annika just admired her cone, he demonstrated on his own.
You want to eat it?
She took one delicate lick, then another.
Oh, it's like eating joy.
Weird, Sawyer thought as they hiked with packs, bags, and cones. But she made him feel like a hero for giving her her first taste of eating joy. Because of it, the hike back went easy. They scattered on the return, and as Sawyer moved faster, he snagged the shower ahead of Doyle. He washed off the salt, the sea, the sweat, felt fully human again as he drank half his first beer in the shower. When he got out, he heard laughter from the kitchen, female laughter. And though it appealed, he thought it wise to take a little time, a little distance from Annika. His lust quotient there kept rising, no matter how studiously he tried to suppress it. He took the rest of his beer outside, pulled a lounge chair into a patch of shade, and settled in with his tablet. He needed to email home, update his family. Maybe he'd read a chapter or two of one of the books he'd downloaded. He dashed off the emails, promised pictures to follow, told himself he could take an hour off to read or doze or whatever the hell. Then he'd do some research. Riley was the queen there, but he had lines to tug as well. Then she walked out, the mermaid in one of her floaty, filmy dresses, her hair loose, waving a little from its time in a braid. She carried a tray of flutes filled with frothy, peach-colored liquid.
Riley says it's Bellini time.
She set the tray on the table, picked up two flutes.
She made them, and we had sips, Sasha and I.
She handed him a flute, sat on the grass with those incredible legs folded.
The gelato was eating joy, and this is drinking it.
He sampled to please her.
Fancy. Good. Good and fancy.
Sasha said a monk found, discovered champagne, and said it was drinking stars.
I've heard that.
Stars are meant to be for beauty and light, and for all the worlds. Nereza won't drink them.
Damn right she won't.
Sawyer shifted, tapped his glass to hers.
Damn right.
Sasha and Bran came out, chose another patch of shade with their drinks, Sasha's sketch pad. Riley settled in the sun with a Bellini, and like Sawyer, a tablet. Doyle came last, gave the Bellinis a look of suspicion, then shrugged. Took one. He, too, chose the sun.
I like when we're all together, Annika murmured. Even apart, like this a little bit, but together. I'll miss it, miss everyone, once we return the stars to the Island of Glass.
We'll have a reunion.
I don't know that word.
It's like when people who've been together, then go separate ways, come back together again to celebrate, for a night or a couple of days.
A reunion.
She thought it would be a new favorite word.
You'd come?
Sure. I bet Bran could fix it up, somewhere private, by the sea. We'll have gelato and Bellinis.
And pizza.
Pizza goes without saying.
He couldn't help himself and stroked his hand down her hair.
We'll end Nereza, but that won't end us.
Chapter 4. At midnight, far too intrigued to resist, Malmont studied the house matching the address on the card Nereza had given him. He'd already had one of his men take photos of it earlier in the day, and had assigned another to find out everything there was to find on the woman. It both angered and intrigued him when everything to be found was nothing at all. But the house suited her, to his mind. Even as he studied it now, from the smoked glass of the limo, he could imagine her inside. It held an eerie grace with its old stone, shielding trees, the gargoyles perched on the eaves. As his did, it stood back from the road, behind a gate. He appreciated the desire for privacy, the power it took to command it. What would she offer him? He had to know. When he ordered the driver to pull up to the gate, he found himself unsurprised it opened immediately. Once the driver opened his door, he stepped out, a confident man in a bespoke suit, who believed he'd already seen and done all there was to see and do. The wide, arched door opened as he approached. A man, pale of face, dark of eye, stood silently. Malmont stepped into a foyer lit with dozens of candles. In the shifting, shimmering light, the pale man closed the heavy door. And Malmont's heart beat quickly.
My mistress waits.
The man's voice scraped rough, like a lizard's tongue over flesh. Malmont followed him up the stairs, more candles, and urns full of lilies so red they looked nearly black in the candlelight. Lilies so strongly scented they swam in his head. He entered a large drawing room where Nereza sat in an ornate chair, almost a throne, that glimmered gold. Its back rose up behind her with a carving of intertwined snakes at its peak. She wore the same red as the flowers, so deep it showed black, with rubies like fat drops of blood dripping around her throat, from her ears. An odd bird, not a crow, not an owl, but some odd combination, perched, like the gargoyles, on the wide arm of the chair. Her beauty struck him like a bolt, both fierce and terrible, and so in that moment was his desire for her. She smiled as if she knew.
I'm pleased you came. Leave us, she told the servant while her dark eyes stayed on Malmont's face.
She rose, her gown rustling like papery wings, and glided to a decanter, poured deep red into glasses.
A drink to new friendships.
How dry his throat, how fast his pulse. He struggled to keep his voice even, casual.
Will we be friends? We have so much in common already, and more to come.
She watched him over the rim as she sipped.
You came because you wonder, and your life has few wonders now. You'll stay because you'll know, and you'll want.
Her scent seemed to twine around him, made him think of everything dark and forbidden.
What will I know? What will I want?
You'll know what I tell you. You'll then tell me what you want, your choice to make.
But her eyes told him she knew that choice already.
Shall we sit?
She didn't sit on the throne chair, but moved toward a curved settee, waited for him, and said,
The stars of fortune. You believe they exist.
I know they exist.
The first, the fire star, was found only days ago in an underwater cave in Corfu.
His interest piqued, and some irritation with it. His network should have picked up that information, if true.
You have it.
Something dark and far more terrible than beauty slid in and out of her eyes.
If I did, I'd have no need for you. I told you there are six who stand in the way, They found the star. They have it. And, for now, it's beyond my reach. Now they hunt for the next, and I hunt for them. I underestimated their inventiveness. I won't do so a second time. Now he smiled, believing he held the advantage.
You want my help?
Your skills, your thirst combined with mine. Force alone proved inadequate. I require guile and human ambitions.
Human?
She said nothing to that, only sipped again of the wine that swam in his head like the heady scent of lilies. You know two of the six.
Do I?
Riley Gwynn.
Aha, yes.
Even the sound of her name made his mouth thin.
I know Dr. Gwynn. A bright, resourceful woman.
She's more than that. Sawyer King. And I see you have no love for this one.
He has something I want, and haven't yet managed to take.
The compass. It can be yours. I have no use for it. Fascinated, Malmont leaned toward her.
You know of it. What it's reputed to do.
He is the traveler for now, able to shift through time, through space, as long as he possesses the compass. You want that power.
I'll have it. It's simply a matter of time. One way or the other, I take what I want.
As do I. With these two are four others. None of the six are only what they seem. If you choose to do what I ask of you, I'll show you what they are, what they have. And what they are, what they have, can be yours. I only want the stars. The compass. He coveted the compass, and only more since he'd failed to acquire it. But she clearly coveted the stars, so a bargain must be struck.
If, as you say, the stars exist, nothing six people are or have can compare to their worth.
The guardians, these six, are not all I'd give you. The offer of money is too usual for you and me, André, though I can give you more than any man can hold. You can choose more wealth, but I think you'll make another choice.
What else is there?
She lifted a hand, and in it rested a clear ball of glass.
Parlatrix.
Look and see. Her voice whispered over his skin like ice. Look into the globe of all and see.
Something in the wine,
he murmured as clouds and water stirred and stirred inside the glass.
Of course.
Only to help you forget all of this should you choose to refuse me. And, she thought, to make him, like his servant, susceptible to suggestion. Hers, should he disappoint her, would be for him to return home, take the weapon he now had at the small of his back, put it into his mouth and pull the trigger. If he refused, he was of no use to her. Look and see. She said again. See the six, guardians of the stars, enemies of Nereza. See them and what they are. He saw Riley standing under the light of a full moon, saw her transform into a wolf that threw back its head to howl before running into shadows. He watched Sawyer, holding the compass, vanish in a golden light and reappear in another. He saw a man hold lightning in his hands, a woman who spoke of visions and things yet to come. Another man run through with a sword who rose again, healed and whole. And the woman, the beauty who dived into a night sea and rose up with a jeweled tail. You see the truth, Nereza spoke quietly, watching the dazed and dazzled look in his eyes. What they have, all and each, you can possess. Do with what you will. Think of hunting the she-wolf, the thrill of it,
She has a pack, more hunting. Think of possessing the mermaid, of owning the compass, of harnessing the magician, the seer for your own purposes, or destroying them. How it would thrill to destroy such creatures. Your choice. Enslave or destroy. And the immortal. She smiled when he looked at her again, when she saw what she'd known she would on his face. The greed for life. This could be yours. Immortality. A payment if you choose. I can give this to you.
How? How can you give me immortality?
I am Nereza.
Named for the goddess who cursed the three stars.
She rose, lifted her arms. The candlelight swirled into walls of fire. Her voice was a thunder that dropped him to his knees.
I am Nereza, goddess of the dark.
The strange bird gave a cry, almost human, then swooped. Malmont felt a quick sting at his throat, but made no sound. He trembled with awe, with lust. Refuse me and leave, never to see again the wonders. Accept my task, and choose your payment. Wealth, power, life eternal.
Life, give me immortality.
Give me the stars, and it's yours. The fire died to candlelight. She sat. She held out a paper and a silver quill. A contract between us. His hands shook. Fear, excitement. He'd forgotten what it was to feel so much. To calm himself, he drained the wine in the glass, then accepted the quill.
It's written in Latin.
Yes, a dead language for immortality. He read Latin, as well as Greek, Arabic, Aramaic. But his heart thudded as he translated. He wanted more time, a night to think, to settle his nerves. She rose, skimmed her hands down, and the gown spilled away, leaving her naked, magnificent. Nerves smothered under lust. Once signed, we'll seal. It's been too long since I've had a man in my bed. A man worthy of it. He could take a goddess, have immortality, possess all the powers he'd seen inside the ball of glass. He signed his name, and she hers. He watched those names bleed and burn into the parchment. Then she took his hand. Come with me, and we will do all there is to do to each other until the light comes. She took her fill of him, took with a voracious hunger he nearly matched. Because he pleased her well enough in bed, she knew she would use him there again. When he slept, she smiled into the dark. Men of all worlds, of all natures, all species, were to her mind the simplest of creatures. They might spring to act, to violence more fiercely, more quickly than the female, but the female remained cannier and more clever. And the male. Sex would always rule them. The offer of it, the act, the need. She'd had only to offer this when he hesitated, and he had signed the contract in his own blood. That blood now burned and bound him. He belonged to her now. And when he helped her take the stars, when she granted him his choice of immortality, he would belong to her, as ever she wished, for eternity. When Annika couldn't sleep, she crept downstairs. She saw the light under the door of the room where Sawyer slept and yearned to go in, just to sit and talk to him, or better, to lie with him in the bed, quiet and warm. But she understood when doors were closed, those inside usually wanted alone. She slipped outside to stand and look out over the flowers, the steep road where the singing woman had pushed her baby in the stroller, and out to the sea. Here and there on the slope down, and along the land below, lights twinkled against the dark. Faintly,
very faintly. She heard music and wondered if someone danced. Overhead, over the indigo sea, the moon turned toward its dark time. When she'd been a child, her mother had told her how the sky fairies nibbled away at the light of the moon until they were full, then breathed the light back. And so the moon turned. A pretty story, she thought now, for a young one, to ease fears. She thought of her family. Did they sleep? She knew she'd brought them pride when she'd been chosen for the quest. They believed in her, trusted her to succeed. So she could not, would not fail. Her mother would understand the dreaming part, the longing part, the loving, and would offer comfort when Annika returned home. But she wouldn't weep long, Annika promised herself. She would have done what she was meant to do, preserve the stars, return them to the island of glass. And she would have had this time with her friends, who were her family in this world. She would have her memories of them, of Sawyer, who was and would be her only love. But she could wish, wishes that caused no harm were never wrong. So she picked out the brightest star and made one. Before her duty was done, before she returned home forever, she would know Sawyer's love, and he would know hers. And from love would come joy for both. The wish slipped quietly into her heart and eased it. When it eased, she heard the sighs, far off like the music, hardly more than a breath on the air, yet it tingled along her skin. She stepped forward, as if to move toward that whisper of sound, and heard another. A footstep, a rustle in the shadows. She pivoted toward the sound, braced to fight.
Relax, gorgeous. It's Doyle.
Oh. She straightened from her crouch, loosened her fists. I thought you slept.
Just taking a last circuit around the place.
She heard the sharp slither of his sword homing itself in its sheath before he stepped into the light.
Can't sleep?
He asked as he walked up the steps toward her. Not yet. Did you hear? Did you hear the sighs?
No.
His eyes sharpened like his sword on her face.
When?
Just now. Just a moment ago. Like when a breeze stirs leaves. But not. Not that. From the water. But I don't know.
Everything means something.
He laid a hand on her shoulder.
I'd wager you'll hear them again.
Then he looked up as a door opened above. Annika looked up with him when she heard voices, Sasha and Bran. I just need some air. Concerned, Annika stepped forward until she saw Sasha leaning on the rail of the terrace, Bran's hands on her shoulders. Sasha, you're sick. No, no, I'm not sick.
She had a dream, Bran said. A hard one, and one everyone should hear. Since most of us are up, you should wake the others. We'll come down when she's steady.
I'll get Sawyer. She ran inside, straight to his bedroom door. In her haste, she forgot to knock, but burst straight in. He sat in the middle of the bed, legs folded, maps spread out, and books, with the compass in his hand.
What?
In one fast move, he rolled off the bed, grabbing the gun on the table as he sprang to his feet.
The razor.
No, no. Sasha, she had a dream. Bran says we need to hear.
Christ.
He rubbed his free hand over his face, carefully set the gun down.
Okay.
Were you swimming? I would swim with you.
Swimming? No, I've been working on something.
Why are you wearing the suit for swimming? He looked down at his boxers, at a moment of ridiculous and acute embarrassment.
They're not. There's something else. Give me a minute and I'll come out. Remember how to make tea?
The sun tea. But it's night.
No, the hot tea.
Yes, with the water boiled in the kettle.
Why don't you go make tea? I bet Sasha could use some.
I'll make it right now. She hurried away, leaving his door open. He shut it, heaved out a breath.
First, she'd shoved his heart into his throat, running in so he'd thought Nereza and her hounds of hell had attacked. Then she'd plopped his heart at his feet, the way she stood in the filtered moonlight and filmy, flowing white.
He should have told her to put on something else, he thought as he grabbed jeans. Like 4 or 5 layers of anything else. But he doubted anything she wore would stop what she stirred inside him. Just too late now, he decided. Pulled on a shirt and went to make sure she didn't burn the house down making tea. She had it under control, and Doyle leaned against the end of the table, watching her. It irked him, an itch under the skin, the way Doyle watched her. It irked to be called away from work, especially since he'd just decided to call it a night and get some sleep. Now they'd have another powwow, with Annika walking around in that white thing that showed every line and curve. Then Riley came in, looking several degrees more irked than he was. For some twisted reason, that smoothed him out again. I was asleep for exactly 3 minutes before the black night beats on my door. Where's the coffee?
I'm making tea, Annika said, ever cheerful. Tea's for sick beds in your aunt's parlor. Black coffee or booze is for meetings after midnight.
I'll have coffee, Doyle said. I guess neither of you wants to sleep once we're done.
Riley flicked Sawyer a glance as she grabbed 2 mugs. If coffee keeps you awake, you don't know how to sleep. The annoyance on her face faded as Sasha came in with Bran.
Hey, you okay?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry to drag everybody up, but we think it's important.
Only Riley was sleeping.
Annika carefully poured the boiling water into the teapot. Sawyer was working, and Doyle and I were outside.
You and Doyle? What were you doing?
Sawyer demanded before he could stop himself.
Having a conversation, Doyle said easily,
then pulled out a chair at the table.
You should sit down, he told Sasha.
I think I will, thanks. It was intense.
If you dreamed about diving without tanks again, I'm putting a tether on you.
Riley walked over, slapped a mug in front of Doyle, sat with her own. Nothing like that. Annika brought cups, the pot, the little strainer for the leaves. It has to... It's not step.
Steep, Sawyer supplied.
Steep. Then I'll pour it for you.
Thanks, Annie.
All right. Sasha took a breath. There was a room, lit by what seemed like hundreds of candles. The furniture struck me as antiques, wealthy and European. Except for the chair, Nereza's chair. That throne-like chair I saw her sitting in the cave.
But it wasn't the cave, Riley prompted.
No, no, I'm sure it wasn't. There were windows. Elaborate window treatments. I could see some sort of garden, mostly in shadows, outside the windows. Trees. She sat in the chair, and a strange black bird perched on the arm. Not like one of the things that attacked us. Smaller, but something lethal about it. Eyes more like a lizard than a bird. And there was a man. He seemed human. Late 30s, early 40s, I'd guess. Attractive in a dark suit. Pausing, she pushed back her hair, tumbled from sleep. She got up, poured something into wine glasses, but I know it wasn't wine. Even in the dream, I could smell it. Blood and smoke and something cloying. But he drank. She shuddered. Annika jumped up immediately, poured the water through the little strainer. You need tea. I'm still cold. I can still smell whatever she gave him. Grateful, Sasha picked up the cup, warmed her hands. I couldn't hear what they said. It was like insects buzzing. But she showed him the globe of all,
and I could see each of us in it, as clearly as I see all of you now. Riley turning into the wolf under the full moon, Annika with the mermaid tail sparkling in the sun, Bran, lightning in his hands, Doyle coming back from the dead, Sawyer with the compass, myself dreamwalking. She knows all of it, and now he knows. Fear was like a hand squeezing my throat. Flames rose up everywhere around them. I could see through the fire, see them, but there was no heat from it. It burned so cold. I wanted to get out, away. I couldn't get out. The bird screamed and flew across to them. It raked its beak over the man's throat. Sasha lifted her fingers, traced a line down the side of her throat. He barely blinked. He just stared at her, at Nereza. I could feel his lust, his greed. Even when she took a snake, a silver snake, and held it to the wound, he didn't move.
"Entranced," Bran said.
It seemed so. It drank the blood. Hissing, coiling around her finger, it drank the blood. He took it from her, used it like a pen, pressing its head, its fangs onto a kind of parchment. To steady herself, she drank tea. She stood up, and her clothes fell away. His lust was huge. I know he signed his name. I couldn't see what he wrote, but I know. And what he signed burned into the parchment, oozed blood, spewed smoke. The blood went black like the smoke. The smoke red like the blood. Then, she closed her eyes a moment, carefully drank tea. Then the smoke coiled up like the snake, and it slithered into the wound on his throat. He made a horrible sound, and his body convulsed and twisted, impossibly, and the room shook so violently that I fell. But he only sat there. She leaned toward him, licked the blood from his throat. The wound closed, left a scar, but closed, and closed in whatever had gone into him. "She has a mark here," Sasha laid a hand on her heart. "A symbol in dark red, a bat with the head of a snake. I swear it moved when she let him out of the room, spreading its wings. The bird swooped over me, screamed my name, dived down, and I woke up." Riley reached over to grip her hand.
"I'd say you could use something stronger than tea."
"No, this is working. She didn't know I could see, I'm sure of that. She was so intent on him, on what she wanted from him, on what she intended to do to him. She didn't sense me at all. And the man, he was completely in thrall, exactly as the term means."
"Why a man?" Sawyer wondered. "A human."
Once again, Sasha shuddered. "I don't think he was just a man when she'd finished with him."
"There's that," Sawyer nodded. "Obviously they made some sort of deal. Contract?" "She showed him who and what we are," Doyle pointed out. "A man, whatever else he might be, can travel unremarked. A spy. Or another kind of weapon."
Bran ran a hand down Sasha's arm, added more tea to her cup.
"As Sasha predicted."
"She did evil to him," Annika murmured. "If he's innocent, we have to help him. Can you find a way to undo what she did to him?"
"I can't say," Bran told her. "I can't be sure what she used on him. First thing would be to try to figure out who he is." "You'd recognize him if you saw him again," Sawyer said to Sasha.
"Absolutely." "Can you draw him?" Riley asked. "If you can do a solid sketch, I can tug some lines. I've got a contact or two who could run face recognition. We could get lucky. I can draw him, the bird, the room, all of it. Believe me, it's imprinted."
"I'll get your sketchbook."
When Sawyer started to get up, Bran waved a hand. Sasha's sketchbook and pencils appeared on the table.
"Saves time."
"Yeah, it does."
Sawyer sat again. He looked successful, sophisticated.
Steadier now, Sasha began to sketch. Innocent isn't the word that comes to mind, though Annika has a strong point. About 6 feet, I'd say, athletic build. Not like Doyle, but fit. Even before he drank, there was an edge about him, a calculation, a hard look in his eyes.
Strong cheekbones, straight jaw, a narrow blade of nose, a sharply defined mouth, a rich wave of hair. Even before she'd finished, Riley looked up from the sketch, met Sawyer's eyes, saw the same recognition.
"Fucking Malmont," she said. "André fucking Malmont, and he's no innocent bystander."
Sawyer pushed to his feet. He remembered too well the near miss in Morocco. If he hadn't been quick enough, he'd be dead. His throat slid ear to ear.
"How the hell did she hit on him? On Malmont?"
Though Riley shrugged, her gaze went hard. "Like calls to like."
"You're sure?" Doyle demanded.
"Dead sure. Screw coffee. Get us a beer, Sawyer. Malmont hooked up with the Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, she forged a weapon as prophesied. Whatever she made him, I don't see how it can be much worse than the original."
Sawyer set beers on the table. "But he was human," Annika began. "Depends on your definition." Riley grabbed a beer. "He's cold-blooded as a snake, kills for sport and profit, steals for the hell of it, and he hunts any kind of game there is, including human."
"I thought that was urban legend."
Riley shook her head at Sawyer.
"Don't count on it.
My intel is every 3 years he holds a tournament. His own most dangerous game. People cruel enough, bored enough, rich enough, pay him $5 million to hunt for a week on some island he has off the coast of Africa. A dozen people as prey. At the end of the week, the one with the most kills gets a trophy. A freaking trophy."
"But this isn't human."
"That's right." In agreement, Riley lifted her beer toward Annika. "So let's not worry about helping him out of his contract. He'll come for us, and he's smart. He's skilled. He won't come alone."
"He has his own team of mercenaries," Sawyer confirmed. "The kind who'd gut a baby for pay."
"Sorry," he said immediately when Annika gasped.
"We all need to know what's coming. He's got mercs. We've got more."
Doyle opted for a beer after all.
"We took out what she threw at us on Corfu. We'll take out what comes now."
"But," Sasha set down her pencil, picked it up again. "It's different, isn't it? We killed creatures, things she'd created, unnatural things. We're talking about people."
"You're going to have to get over that. An enemy's an enemy." "Doyle's right."
Bran laid a hand over Sasha's.
"We have no choice in this. He knows what Riley is, and Annika. He wouldn't kill them. Not at first, it seems to me."
"Sold to the highest bidder." Voice sharp, Riley took a long drink. "Same with Doyle, most likely. Think of the hours of fun he'd have with someone who can't die. That's a sadist dream date."
"I don't understand," Annika began, but Sasha stood.
"Dark called to dark, and it answered. Promises given, taken, in blood. What she made gives him more, and gives her more. He is her creature now, the man and the beast. The hunt begins and ends with human blood. Black magics drink, white magics burn. Between, the star waits to gather and light in the hands of the pure. Through the battle and the pain, through the water, of the water. Courage, sons and daughters, though the snake strikes, risk all for all and prevail."
Sasha sat again, caught her breath.
"Wow, I'll say." "Want that something stronger now?" Riley asked her.
"No, that was strong enough."
"Seems like the seer has spoken."
Riley lifted her beer again.
"Buck up, team.
Bran's going to make us some fire, and we're going to burn Nerys's ass again, and that bastard Malmon's while we're at it.
Then I'd suggest everyone get some sleep.
Doyle stood up.
We start combat training at dawn. It may take him a few days to select his own team, to get here and set up, to come at us. We'll bloody well be ready.
Chapter 5. Annika didn't like the new training. It held a meanness, like the guns. Striking each other, throwing each other to the ground. How to slash or stab someone with a knife. She wanted to say no, as she had with the gun. No, she would not. But she knew she must. Bran couldn't make her a magic weapon for this. She didn't like seeing Doyle sweep Sasha's legs out from under her so she fell, or Riley kicking so hard toward Bran's belly. Her friends slashed at each other with knives, and though Bran had charmed them so they couldn't harm flesh, it made her hurt inside. To avoid most of it, she danced, tumbled, flipped out of the way, rather than on the attack. When she couldn't avoid, she held back, afraid to hurt those she loved.
Come on, Annika, you're faster than that.
Feet planted, Doyle tapped a fist on his hard chest.
Come at me, come hard.
Hoping to satisfy him, she started forward, did a handspring, started a flip, but he caught her foot, used momentum to push her up and back. She barely had time to adjust and land on her feet.
Hey, take it easy.
Sawyer broke off sparring with Riley, took a punch in the belly for his trouble.
Hey, you too.
Love tap, she claimed.
Good thing we're not in love.
He started toward Doyle.
Ease up a little. Easing up gets you hurt. She's easing up and that's the problem. You're holding back, gorgeous. Truth.
On a pleading look, she lifted her hands. I don't want to hurt my friends.
Holding back's what's going to hurt your friends. Go with me, he murmured to Sawyer.
Fast, smooth, he had Sawyer in a grip and a knife to his throat.
How do you keep me from cutting his throat?
The knife can't hurt him, though she didn't like it there. Bran fixed it.
Got you there, friend.
Unamused, Doyle grunted, flipped the knife point first into the grass. In an instant, he had Sawyer in a chokehold.
Hey! Play along. Play my... fuck!
He managed as his windpipe seemed to narrow.
What if I just snap his neck?
The muscles in Doyle's arms rippled as he applied pressure.
The right grip, the right pressure. It's done. Quick and quiet. What do you do?
You won't hurt him.
Just a little more pressure.
When Sawyer began to wheeze and struggle, Annika's eyes widened.
Stop! Make me. Stop me. He could be dead any second.
I said stop! Lifting a fist, Annika shot out light, struck Doyle's choking arm, his throat. She sprang forward an instant before Doyle released Sawyer. Sawyer coughed out a couple breaths, bent over to rest his hands on his thighs.
It didn't hurt you because you're not evil.
Gave me a buzz, Doyle told her. And if I'd have been a bad guy, I'd be down for the count. That's how it's done. You okay, kid?
Sawyer gulped in another breath, nodded. Then, straightening, came back hard with an elbow into Doyle's gut. Now Doyle coughed out a breath.
Good one. You earned it, old man.
We're hurting each other.
When tears trembled in Annika's eyes, Doyle stepped back.
All yours. Okay, listen.
Sawyer swung an arm around Annika's shoulders, turned her around.
Let's walk a little.
Doyle hurt you. You hurt Doyle. Sasha said Riley broke her butt.
Not the time to laugh, Sawyer warned himself. It's an expression. But yeah, we're going to hurt each other a little. Some bumps and bruises, and some bruises on the pride, too. But Ani, what comes at us won't have knives that won't cut, won't pull punches. They could be worse than what she sent before because they're human. They can think and plan instead of just act. They'll kill me. I'm expendable. I don't have value.
No. No, you.
To them, I am. Probably Sasha, too. Bran, if they can manage it. And they'll take you and Doyle and Riley. That's worse. What they'll do to you is worse.
She stopped, turned to face him, to read his eyes.
They'll kill you?
They'll try.
And Sasha?
Odds are, kill or capture. And for us, one's the same as the other. We have to survive.
It's our duty.
That's right. And we have to protect each other. That's more than duty. I'll take the bumps and bruises now. Doyle's tough, but he's right.
Do you want to kill people? To take their lives?
Absolutely not. But to save you, us, myself, the stars, I won't hesitate.
Then I'll hurt you.
On a laugh, he cupped her face in his hands, pressed his lips to her forehead. She simply flowed toward him, all but melted against him, surrounding him with her scent, both sweet and mysterious at once. He had only to shift, only to change the angle of his head for his mouth to meet hers. And that shift, that change of angle, would change everything else.
Okay, well.
He gave her a quick rub on the arms, stepped back. Tried not to look too long into those dreamy sea-green eyes.
Let's see if you can hurt me before Doyle calls it for breakfast.
They spent another day on and in the water, found nothing that pointed them toward the star. But there was also gelato on the way home, and Annika considered that the happiest part of the day. When they reached the house, the men wandered off into the grove. Annika thought nothing of it as she set out another jug of sun tea. But Riley apparently thought plenty. Wearing her orange chucks, a Grateful Dead t-shirt over baggy cargos, and a suspicious expression, she stood, hands on hips.
Man talk.
I think they went to shoot the targets.
I don't think so.
Riley turned as Sasha stepped out with her sketchbook and a large pitcher of sparkling pink.
I tried my hand at this juice drink, raspberry and lemon with sparkling water. I think it's pretty good.
We'll be the judge.
Where's everyone else? Sasha asked as Riley poured the juice over a tall glass of ice.
Exactly. The everybody else with a penis went off into the grove. I smell man meeting.
They can have it. I'm hot, tired, and parched.
But as she sat under the pergola, Sasha frowned toward the grove.
What could they be meeting about?
Strategy. Protecting the women folk from the Nereza-Malmont duo.
That's insulting.
You bet.
This is pretty good. I like it very much, Annika added as she sampled her own glass. We can have a woman meeting. We protect too.
Damn, Skippy.
Who is Skippy? Why are you mad at him?
It's an expression. Like bet your ass.
People are always betting their asses. Language is fun.
Because of the shade, Annika took off the glasses that dimmed the glare of the sun.
But I think the men worry because I won't use the gun, and Sasha has to practice fighting.
I call bullshit.
Scowling now, Riley aimed her displeasure toward the grove. You've both proven yourselves, and more than once.
I agree with that, Sasha said. But Annika's right, too. I'm not as quick or as strong as the rest of you. I'm better, and I'll get better yet. And Annika, you're plenty quick and strong. The bracelets more than make up for a gun.
Damn Skippy,
Annika grinned as she tried out the expression.
In the water, I'm the best, and we can use that. Riley shoots the gun very, very well, and she's fast in a fight. Sasha is better with the crossbow than even Doyle, and she sees so much of what we need to know. We've been chosen because of what we are, what we can do, what we will do.
We're not a team if we're in two camps, Sasha pointed out. The men, the women.
It's natural for men to worry about the women and their family. We're family.
Riley drummed her fingers on the table.
Go ahead, Annie. Be logical.
We worry too,
Annika added. I would do all I could to protect them, and you. And so I have to hurt you when we practice. When we were attacked in the water in Corfu, the first time, I wasn't ready. I was too happy to be in the sea. But since I listen, I watch, I protect. Sasha reached out, laid a hand on Annika's. You saved me. In the last battle, you went to the high cliff with Bran because you knew he would need you. We all needed you. And in the full moon, when Riley changed, she came to fight with us as the wolf, with no weapons but fang and claw. They know this, all this. But men will worry about their women. You're more tolerant than me. But Riley shrugged. I'll give them space until they take too much of it. We have more. You're the smartest. You're starting to improve my mood, Annie. Sawyer is so clever, and Doyle has lived so long, has much experience. Bran is smart, and he has magic. But your brain is the biggest. You find things out. Dig them out. I haven't dug up anything on the sighs and songs yet. But I'm working on it. You will find it, or Sasha will dream it, and we'll know. It wasn't simplicity or innocence in Annika's words, her tone. It was faith. Knowledge is a power and a weapon, and you give us knowledge. The men understand all of this. Still, Sawyer protected me when I wouldn't learn how to shoot the gun. Doyle didn't try to force me, and Bran made me these. She lifted her hands so the copper gleamed in the dappled sunlight. He knew I would fight better, be stronger with these. When you were the wolf, Sawyer made you a fire on a rainy night. This is kindness and care. Doyle knocks Sasha down so she'll get up again, but he doesn't knock her down as hard as he knocks Riley, because Riley's stronger. And meaner. In a fight? Again, Riley shrugged, but she grinned with it. I can be all around mean when I need to. Then sat back with her sparkling juice. I never thought to have a mermaid explain men to me. Is it wrong? No, you hit all the right spots. Like I said, you're more tolerant, but I can't argue any of your points, especially since I have the biggest brain. And maybe I was wrong, Sasha considered. Maybe it's good to separate now and then. We get the female perspective, they get the male. Then we bring both to the team. Can I ask a question about men, but not about battle? Of course. How did you get Bran to kiss you, the first time? Unintentionally, I guess. We were both a little angry. So to get Sawyer to kiss me, we should be angry? Out of the corner of her eye, Sasha saw Riley's eyebrows lift into her long fringe of bangs. Not necessarily. Everyone's different. You have feelings for Sawyer.
He fills me with feelings.
So make your move, Riley said. Can't the female make the first move in your world? Kiss first, she added for clarity.
Oh, yes. It would be silly not to be able to kiss the male you want, if he's willing.
If I'm any judge, Sawyer would be willing.
But I can't. I'm not permitted to kiss a land person the first time. He must want me. Show me. He must choose.
Why is that?
Our females have the power to lure men, humans, to seduce so the choice isn't a choice for them. Long ago, and not so long ago, some of my kind lured men, sailors and explorers.
Sirens.
Yes. The song of the siren is beautiful and powerful, but it can be dangerous to the human she calls. We take an oath not to use the song, and never to first kiss a man if we're granted legs. An oath is sacred. I wouldn't be worthy of this quest if I broke the quest, because I want to kiss Sawyer.
With her heart in her eyes, she looked toward the lemon grove.
But I do. Very much.
Hamstrung. Riley looked at Sasha. Personally, I don't think he's going to be able to hold out for much longer.
I think it's honor holding him back. He doesn't want to take advantage of you, Annika.
How could he take advantage? If I didn't want him to kiss me, I would say no.
It's not always that black and white for land people, Sasha told her.
It doesn't take a seer to know he'd very much like to kiss you.
You believe that?
Annika's eyes sparkled like the drink as she looked at Riley.
Do you?
Damn Skippy. On a laugh, Annika pressed her hands together.
I'm so happy I talked to you. This is hopeful.
You can't ask him to kiss you? Riley said.
No. It's forbidden until after the first time. After the choice.
Can you ask why he doesn't kiss you?
Annika started to speak, then frowned. It's different to ask why not. It's conversation and seeking answers, not asking for an act. No one told me it's not permitted to ask a human why not, only not to ask them too.
Laughing again, she grabbed Riley's hands.
This is so smart.
Big brain, and some experience with human males.
I should go ask right now.
I wouldn't. Quickly, Sasha reached over, joined her hands with Annika's and Riley's.
I think it's best to wait until it's just the two of you, until you're alone. Asking him in front of the men, he'd feel awkward.
Oh, I'll do as you say. You've helped so much. Girl power.
The other part of that, Riley continued, is you tell us what happens after you ask why not. It's good to talk to females. Males must feel it's good to talk to males.
You won that argument. And here they come now.
Riley thought Sasha had been right.
You didn't need the sight to know Sawyer had a case for their mermaid. Sunglasses didn't disguise the fact that his gaze went straight to Annika, lingered there before he put on his affable smile, sauntered across the lawn to the table.
That looks good.
Then it's lucky I made a large pitcher and brought enough glasses out for everyone. Before I knew, you three were having a summit in the grove.
Bran walked behind Sasha's chair, ran a hand down her hair.
We did some calculations on the best positions for the light potion when it's fully cured. The first of it should be ready after sundown.
He sat beside her, lifted the pitcher.
What have we here?
A kind of raspberry lemonade.
I'll get a beer.
Noting the glint in Sasha's eyes, Doyle hesitated.
Or not. You pissed, Blondie.
I might have been. Riley would have been.
But fortunately, all around, Annika made some salient points about the male of this species, and many others, and their instinct to protect their women, even when the women are capable, and that men sometimes require or desire the company of men. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in such amiable moods.
Appreciate it, gorgeous.
Doyle dumped some of the sparkling juice into a glass.
I said what I did because I believe you respect us. If I believed you didn't respect us, I would be angry.
Not only respect, depend on and love.
Bran took Sasha's hand, brought it to his lips. When he lowered it, Sasha held a rose, yellow as sunlight. Bran smiled at Annika's audible sigh.
With love comes concern.
I don't see you kissing our hands, Irish. Now Bran laughed, gestured to Riley.
Give it over.
Maybe later.
Meanwhile, I think I've worked out how to fulfill Doyle's suggestion for the weapons. For that, I could use your help, Foy.
Then you'll have it.
Once it's ready to test, I'll need everyone.
For magics? Annika asked.
For magics.
With a flick of his fingers, Bran produced a rose as pink as candy, another as white as ice. Offered the pink to Annika, who beamed over it. The white to Riley.
And while we scouted out the grove and the areas beyond for placing the light bombs, Sawyer had a thought.
You had a thought? Riley smirked at him.
It happens once or twice a year. We're talking defense, offense, strategy, holding our ground against attacks. and I figure we're going to be dealing with Malmo.